that happened every day.
Okay, so I want to finish off this Tosfos and then start the Gemara. All right, so recall yesterday, Tosfos, in my opinion, Tosfos is presenting two extremes, okay, when it comes to Ach. One extreme of Ach is that Ach is like its own independent Chaloshem, right, separate from the system, so to speak, separate from Yerusha. What do I mean, separate from Yerusha? Meaning, it's not subject to any type of deduction. So, you have your Chakr V'ayin, which teaches you vertical south, Ach, and you have to go through Ach before you get to Mishmash. So, the idea of a horizontal is just unique to Ach. It doesn't exist anywhere else. The other side would say that, no, there's no real Ach. Rather, what's an Ach? An Ach is a derivative, meaning an Ach is simply a Ben Av. But there is no such thing as an Ach. Okay?
What does that do by the Torah, though?
Good question. Okay, so, That's an excellent question. So we left off at this point here with the quote unquote fake brothers. Okay, it's a very cryptic thing in Tosos here. Tosos says, why would it have to say Achim Mina Av and Achim Mina Aim? Okay, or why is the Achim Mina Aim at the end of the day? Okay, because you would think that Achim Mina Av is a Riboy and not a Miut. Okay, oh, I'm about to say, okay, because Achim Mina Av sounds like it's talking about these types of brothers and not that type. Okay, but no, you could learn Achim Mina Av as a Riboy. How could it be learned as a Riboy? Because maybe what would you have thought? Okay, just follow Tosa's reasoning here. You would have thought that there could be, I don't have to draw it out again from yesterday. You would think there's a case where two brothers think they're brothers from the same father, right? They certainly are from the same mother, but they think from the same father. But it turns out mom was, got pregnant from some other guy. And now, it turns out that they're not brothers from the same father, okay? So Achim and Av comes to teach you as a Riboy that not only do we talk about real Achim and Av, even, what would you call these guys? Fake?
No, it's not fake.
Oh, so, well,
Fake.
Fake. Fake. More emphasis on the fake part. These other kind of brothers, right?
The Chashash brothers.
Those guys also will be included as Achim and Av. Kamash Milan, that's not true. And since Achim and Av is really a miut, Achim and Aim is coming to tell you that, well, I don't want to define it yet, but Achim and Aim is telling you that there's two types of things. Yes. The objective in Tosos here is not to deal seriously with this possibility of Chashash, okay? Rather, what he's trying to say is, when we learn the idea of Ach, channel through Achim and Av, what else could it mean? In other words, I don't want to get into the halakhic implications of this chashash ach. What I want to understand is that you will learn achim in av. In other words, if you're telling me that achim in av would include fake brothers, that means that it's including what kinds of achim?
Achim and aim.
Achim and aim, right? In other words, by definition, if you're telling me achim in av is inclusive, there's only one other kind of ach it could include, and that is achim and aim. It's just repackaging achim and aim as what?
Achim
and av. So what's bothering Tosfos? Right, I agree, but I'm saying, what's he saying? Do you understand that point? In other words, what Tosfos is saying is that it says Achim Mina Av. Now, Achim Mina Av could be a Riboy. What's it coming to include? What's it really coming to include? Achim Mina Aim. But Tosfos is saying you wouldn't read it as Achim Mina Aim. You would read them as fake Achim Mina Av. Okay? But that happens to be, if they're fake Achim Mina Av, they're Achim Mina Aim. So you have to bring an Achim Mina Aim written down to show you that to exclude that category. So what's going on here, Tosfos?
What?
Here, or put it this way, okay? Let's say we posit that the idea of Ach is really a chaloshem that emerges, that is derived, but it's not that an Ach, so to speak, is simply the son of a father. Rather, there is a unique chaloshem of Ach that emerges from something else. Okay. Now, let's say you said that. Okay, what would that do now to understanding the nature of Yerusha as a whole? How would Ach now fit in to the system of Yerusha? We don't want this. Remember, we don't want it to be a separate chaloshem of Ach. So how would it fit in if we said that? When Shua dies, okay?
Yes.
So there's Av, there's Ben, and there's Ach.
He doesn't have a brother anymore. His brother's gone.
What do you mean his brother's gone?
Shua's dead.
No. But he may be physically dead. But we have to deal with his Yerusha. Remember, Yerusha from the Keber. Like, there's a Yerusha to take care of. He's alive as so far as Yerusha is concerned. Now the question is, how do we look at Av? So we don't want to say this. You don't want to say, well, there's Ben and there's Av, right? Actually, I'm sorry. There's Ben, and then we assess this, and then we go to Av. right? Meaning it's step one, two, and then three, because then Ach is outside the system. We also don't want to say that's only Mishmash, because then there's no idea of Ach. So then, but if you say that the Shem Ach is dependent on this, meaning this relationship only exists because of this appearance, so then you can have an idea of a Chalo Shem Ach, but say it's a derivative. It's not derived through Mishmash. It's a dependent existence. Okay? It's the... So if you look at that diagram, it's pretty clear what Tosos is doing. Tosos is saying, it's pretty clear what Tosos is doing is that he's saying that in the Havmina, he's trying to eradicate any difference between Ach. Okay? Ach. Because what he's saying is that there are brothers. Okay? They're brothers. Right? It doesn't matter who they come from. Right?
I mean, Av means parent.
Right, exactly. Achamina of here doesn't mean, what do you call it, father. It means that we want one category called Ach. We want one category, right? So in order to do that, what would you have to do? You have to eradicate Achamina Aim. You have to say, there's no Achamina Aim. Rather, what's happening? What's happening is that there's only this type of Ach. So then you have to create this idea of Chashash to say why that still will be considered a brother. But the point is that in the Havamina, what Tosas is saying is that when you look at Ach, don't look at types of Achim. There are no types. There's no A and B. There's simply a category called Ach, right? So he eradicates, he erases any possibility of anything other than one kind of Ach. So what was that? So what's the Reboy? It didn't have to be Av, right? It could have been Achim Minha, whatever. What? Oh, right, but the Mishnah uses Achim Min. Right, but... Right, no, but because look at Min as... The Achim Min Ha is teaching you a category. It's saying, don't look at Av as meaning father, look at Av as parent. If you look at Av as parent, then you can eradicate any difference between Achim. There's no idea of a different kind of Ach. There's simply the child of parent, right? That's what creates Ach. It's read Av as parent. Don't read Av as father. But in doing so, what do you accomplish in the Havamina? You get rid of any differentiation types of Achim. Okay, you wouldn't have different types of Achim. He's trying to figure out a halachic mechanism to eradicate an idea of different types of achin. He doesn't want there to be types of achin. He wants ach to be a category. If there's going to be a category, he has to figure out some halachic mechanism to treat every ach identically. So how does he do that? He creates this idea of a chashash. The chashash always exists. How could you prove it otherwise? I mean, we have paternity tests, but I'm saying in a non-DNA way. There's always that suspicion. That's what I'm trying to say. When it comes to an Av and a Ben, you don't have types of Bens and types of Avs, right? You have a father and a son. Those are intrinsic definitions. But what's weird, what would you want Ach to be? You'd want Ach to be the same thing. You'd want it to be just like this universal idea of Av, as a universal idea of Ben, you'd want the same thing by Ach as well. That's what you would want. You wouldn't want to start playing a game of that type of Ach and that type of Ach, because Ach is, and the Torah is what? Is one of the categories, right? There's Ben, Av, and Ach. You don't want to start playing a game of this type of Ach or that type of Ach. You'd want it to be one category, one universal. That would be the objective. This is the way to accomplish it in this Havamina. The Maskana is obviously, the Maskana becomes Av. What's the Maskana saying? If you're saying that Achim and Av is no longer Reboy, that's a Miut, and that's why you have Achim and Aim, so what does that tell us about Ach now? Now we gotta refine this even more. Because again, we know that there's a chaloshem ach, that we know. But it's not an independent chaloshem, it's a derived chaloshem. It's a very odd idea. It's like it emerges through something else. Okay? Fine. Good. But then Tosa says, what should ach be then? It should be a universal. There should not be achim and aim. There should just simply be the category called ach. But Tosa says, no. The maskana is that you have achim and aim. So that which shows you, obviously, that there's two types. But what does that tell us about ach at this point? How would you look at ach now? In other words, think about what's happening now. Achim min ha'av are included. Yeah. Achim min ha'im are excluded. So what does that tell us now about the identification of an ach?
In Yerusha or in general? In Yerusha. Right, in Yerusha is somebody who can...
Well, no, okay, yes.
It only exists from the father.
Well, yeah, yes, and therefore what?
Through those who can be Yorish.
What?
Through those who can be Yorish.
Interesting. Yeah. So that's what seems to be the case, right? It seems to be that since the av is a primary Yorish, so then... Since the ach's identity is dependent on something else, so the Mishnah is teaching you is that his identity can only emerge from someone who essentially is tied to the system of Yerusha, right? So, meaning a primary Yorish can beget, this is key, another primary Yorish, all right? But you can never have someone who's not a primary Yorish beget a primary Yorish. Again, the Ach isn't a secondary Yoresh. He is a primary because he exists as an independent Chaloshim on the horizontal, right? But he can only come from a primary Yoresh. That's what seems to be the Mishnah's conclusion, according to Tosfos. Yeah.
Is this Ach?
I happen to love this little piece of Gemara here. It's a very nice, if you want like a nice, easy svara, like a little break from this insanity, this first part of Gemara, I think, provides that. This first Gemara, yeah. So it's very nice. All right, you'll see. So Mishnah, so the Gemara says what? Yuri, Mishnah. What? Mishnah?
Right.
Oh, Madu Shona Mishnah Seno? No, no, no. Okay, there's the Mishnah. What's the first? Okay, let's read the Mishnah again. The Mishnah says, it says, Av Esabanim, the Banim Esav. Now, Av Esabanim, if the father's Yorish from the son, what happened? The son died, right? So the Gemara is saying, why would you start, meaning, okay, again, just understand the premise, not defining anything, but understand the premise. We know that Av Es Abanim and Banim Es Av are two expressions of a bidirectional relationship, right? Meaning, you could have started with A or you could have started with B, or I shouldn't say that. You could have started with A or started with A prime. They both are the same idea. So why choose one over the other? Yet, for some reason, the Mishnah chose to start with the tragedy of a son dying and the father inheriting. So the Gemara wants to know, listen, the Abanim as Aberesha, meaning the more natural thing to start off with would be that a father dies and the sons inherit. If I had a choice right now, what would I start off with? I start off with the normative situation. Remember, I have two equal roads to go down. There's nothing in each one that makes them superior. So then we have to turn to something external from it. So one external thing is, well, I'll tell you, the more natural occurrence is that fathers die and sons inherit. Why would you start the other way? But now the Gemara is going to bring in and show you that there's a problem starting. Again, I want to be clear about this. Not an internal problem, but an external problem. There's an external problem with starting off with this case of the sons dying. So what is that? Yeah. Okay, so read. So the Gemara says, Chada. That's already an alarm bell. Because Chada means what? That's bad. So the first reason is, just read the what do you call it? The bold part. That's Skuli Parnusa. Okay, so reason number one is, we don't want to start off with something bad. And what's something bad? It's a tragedy when, listen, let's be clear, everybody dies, okay? But there's no question it's more of a tragedy when a son dies versus a father. Meaning, in this situation, in other words, an older person will die, right? But for a child to die, that's like a terrible tragedy. So hold on. So the first point the Gemara is saying is that we don't start off Mishnayos with tragedies, right?
That's fine.
Right. The ode.
The ode,
now that's better. So I'm sorry, I gave my bias away. I apologize. But the Gemara's second reason seems to be a lot easier. It's saying that, what's the order of the Torah? The order of the Torah isn't the order of the Torah is not a son dying and then a father dying. It's saying, Ish kiamus ubenein lo, meaning follow the order of the Torah. So why would the Mishnah follow the order of the Torah? So we have two reasons why you shouldn't start off with banim es av. The first reason is because it's puranusa, it's bad. Second reason is because the Torah has a certain order. Now the second reason, in my opinion, sounds a lot more compelling than the first one. Okay, one more line? Okay, now I have another question. Then the Gemara's answer is, the Tana, Midrasha, Chavivale. Oh, now, we're not going to do the drush yet, okay? But what the Gemara is saying is that the reason why we start off with Banim Es Av is because there's a drusha there, okay? There's a drusha there. Now, I'll make it easier for you guys, okay? The drusha is going to be She'ero. All right, meaning they're going to use that to darshan out that she'ero means av. But that doesn't matter what the specific drush is. The point is that what the Gemara is saying is that since the Abanim Es Av requires a drusha, right, there was a drusha that they used to explain it, it's more chaviv to them. And therefore, I'm serious, this almost sounds like they're patting themselves on the back. It's like, well, it required more creative ingenuity to derive a conclusion by Banim Es Av versus Av Es Abanim, so that's why we're going to put Banim Es Av first. What kind of answer is that? Well, how do you understand that? How do you understand that answer? So David's pointing out that clearly the Gemara's implication here is there's something more to a Mishnah than simply reading something, that there's something about a Mishnah that's deeper. But, okay, so let's understand that. Let's take that move that David's making, all right? So, okay, what is the, okay, so let's understand, what's the purpose of a Mishnah?
To teach you something.
What?
To
Well, that just teach you something. That I could read a book like, I could read Mishnah if you give me something. Mishnah has a much more specific purpose, right? More than that, what's Mishnah doing? What was the objective of Yehuda Nasi? He's taking the Torah Shel Ha'Peh and putting it down on paper. Okay, now in doing so, right? So, but Mishnayos are written in a way that what's supposed to happen, it's supposed to be, since we know Torah Shel Ha'Peh was getting lost, we're going to write it down so that people, when they read it, right, can easily remember, I won't say halacha because it's not easy, but remember both the preservation of the Mesorah with halacha, right? But it has to be written in a way that's easy, okay? Meaning it's accessible, okay? So when I pick up a Mishnah, when I pick up a Mishnah, so I pick it up in a way, I see it, and I'm like, yes, of course, I understand the halacha now, I understand the Mesorah, it's all a package deal, okay? So, right? So that if you accept that premise, which I don't think is a radical premise, right? You agree with that, David?
Yeah.
Okay. So now I think you can understand what's bothering the Gemara. Okay. What's the first problem? Okay. If I go ahead and what's going to happen if I have a Mishnah in front of me, and I see the Mishnah written in a way of the son's died. What's going to happen? What? No. The Gemara would ask that question. That's not what you would do. What would the average person do? Not you being average, Gano.
Do you think that it's more common for that to happen?
No. The opposite way. No, saying if you read the no, because what's going to happen is that what? That's fine. It's normal. Yeah, go ahead, Noah. Without being that black and white. In other words, the first answer is that it's a distraction. Meaning a person can't be distracted when you read a Mishnah. No, what do you mean? That's the thing. The problem is that I'm telling you, if I presented this Mishnah to, that undermines the objective of Mishnah, which is to be able to teach halacha. A person can't be distracted by that. So one objective in writing down Torah Shel Ha'Peh on paper is that it should be done in a way where a person's focus is only on the halacha. When you start with something bad, what's going to happen is a person will be distracted. They're going to think about the tragedy. Tragedy has nothing to do with Yerusha. Of course it's sad. What does that do to Yerusha? That's like Pirkei Avos or Mishlei. That's for something else. Not for this. Oh, yeah, no. One second. So that's one kasha on this. Yeah. The other kasha is, the other idea of the order is, what is a Mishnah supposed to do?
Follow the Torah.
Great, because when you write down Torah Shel Ha'Peh, it's important that people see a synthesis, right, between Torah Shel Ha'Peh and Torah Shel Bechtav. But when Torah Shel Ha'Peh goes out of order Torah Shel Bechtav, what's the person going to think? That's bizarre. Right, so it's amazing. In my opinion, there's two ways you can undermine the function of a Mishnah. One is where you have, now getting back to how the way you put it. One is where some psychological aspect of it pulls you away from the strict halacha, and the other one is more of a philosophical idea where the person doesn't see the Torah Shel Ha'Peh reflecting Torah Shel Bechtav properly. That he'll question the authenticity of the Mishnah. Why should I trust this Mishnah? It goes against the order of the Torah. Oh, but what's the answer then? Sounds like we've painted ourselves into a corner, have we not? What's this idea of patting yourself on the back? See, I did this Tosos. I had multiple reasons for why I'm doing this Tosos first. There's a lot of reasons why I wanted the Tosos first. It does come in the Mishnah, but there's a more fundamental reason why. Now that you've been to this Tosos, you can really understand. You can really understand this answer in the Gemara.
Does it count
for no. Why would the Gemara? No, these are good kashas. It would seem to undermine the very objective of Mishnayos to have a Mishnah written in a way where A, there's a distraction, right? Which psychologically alters him from focusing on the ideas, and B, where, what do you call it? It doesn't reflect the synthesis between Torah Shel Ha'Peh and Torah Shel Bechtav is not extant. We don't want that. So then what's this patting on the back thing? This entire system cannot be learned through Torah Shel Bechtav, right? This system is dependent intrinsically on Torah Shel Ha'Peh. You cannot make any headway in Yerusha whatsoever without Chazal. That's what they mean by Chaviv Aleh. What they're saying, not because they love the fact they darshan this out. What they're trying to demonstrate is that there are other areas of halacha where I can use Torah Shel Bechtav as a guide. I can say, I can darshan something out from it, but I can use it as a guide. I can use an opening. For instance, I'll give you an example. Lifnei Iver lo siten michshol. Okay? I can't put a stumbling block in front of a blind person. So, what does that mean? You can extrapolate from that. You don't have to be a wizard to extrapolate from that the idea of don't give people bad advice. There's a clear causal chain. But with Yerusha, is there a father mentioned inside, the system of Yerusha in the Torah? Right? It's not. There's no father there, but Ache Aviv is. We don't know what She'ero means. You've seen from this Tosfos that if you just had Torah Shel Bechtav alone, you would make zero headway. No headway in Yerusha. You wouldn't know what to do.
Why couldn't
Because through the drush they're going to make of the order they chose in the Mishnah, because of that drush that they use in this order, demonstrate this whole thing is based on Torah Baal Peh. You have to see what the drush is. But that's the next line. But see, for right now, what the Gemara is trying to tell you is that what makes Yerusha very different, okay, is that normally speaking, in areas, I can look at what's written in the Torah and I can kind of construct some type of causal chain between what's written in the Torah and what Halacha L'maisa is. But not by Yerusha. By Yerusha, you are literally, you're bound. The only way you can ever understand Yerusha is through the lens of Torah Shebaal Peh. The Torah Shebichtav on its own is, I'm going to say this carefully, in a non-heretical way, incomplete. Okay, it's incomplete. It doesn't. The tools are not there to derive how Yerusha works. So now, what is the drush? She'ero. No, ze'av. All right. So, surprise. So it turns out. Okay. Now you'll understand why this is a serious problem. So it turns out we have Ben, Bas, Ach, Ache Aviv, and then She'ero, which means Av. Okay, so Nilamed. Oh, one second. Well, that's a big problem. That doesn't make any sense. Why does that not make any sense?
Because the Torah listed
fifth. Okay, good. So the Gemara is trying to pull a fast one. Talk about a chaviv drush, by the way. I'm not so chaviv by this, but anyway, what do you call it? It's trying to pull a fast one on you. You got to be very careful. This is a classic Gemara trying to pull a fast one, because I can live a she'ero meaning av. Okay, I can live with that. That's not the end of the world. But one second, well, why does that imply kandimus? How do I know then? Because on that list, where is Av last? So it's amazing how the Gemara wants to darshan out two things. Number one, She'ero means Av, but not only does it mean Av, but Av. Now, let's be fair. But we know there's no way logically that Av could ever come after who? Ben Bas Ach Ache Aviv. Yeah, how could father come after Ache Aviv? That's impossible, right? And there's no one can take seriously the possibility that Av would come after Achei Aviv. But if that's true, what have you now done? What aspect of the Pesukim? Oh, okay. Now here. Okay, good. Now comes the next problem. Now, once you change an order, what does that do to the order? Well, okay, that's the problem. The problem now is that once you're going to tell me that don't treat Av as number five, it's somewhere else. But then, okay. So now the Gemara now says, "Yachol yehei kodem lebein." Oh, so maybe once I've decided to abandon the idea of order, see, that's why you got to pay. You got to listen to the Gemara. Once I abandon the idea of order, so then where can I put off? Anywhere I want to, stick him anywhere I want, even before bein. Put him. Oh, so now the Gemara has another cheat. Tamul lomar hakarov kodem. Right. So one second. The Gemara and the classic, it wants to have its cake and eat it too. How so? Because She'ero means Av. I can live with that. Okay, but one second. But now we've destroyed the order. The idea of Seder is now destroyed. All right? Let's say not completely destroyed, but it's destroyed to the point where we don't know where Av belongs. We don't know where. There's nothing in She'ero itself that tells you where Av belongs. So then, what word do we use then? Hakarov. But one second. If I read the Torah literally, She'ero Hakarov means what? Not father.
Literally,
yeah. Right, okay. Meaning whoever's left, right, the closest relative would inherit.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's understand. So when it comes to the word She'ero on its own, that means father. When it comes to where to put the father, we read it as She'ero Hakarov. Meaning you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Meaning we abandoned the Av part of She'ero and read it as the closest remaining relative. Meaning, where do you know where to put the Av? She'ero Hakarov. What kind of thing is that?
So why wasn't it listed there?
Av in the Torah?
Yeah.
Good question. That's a good question.
You need
Torah. Right, basically. Come on. This is an easy conceptual point. Once you say the father is not in this, whereas either the father is number five, right, or this whole order business doesn't exist anymore. Once you say the father isn't number five, then you're saying the order that I thought was the order is not the order. I mean, there is no order. So then why can father be before Ben?
Meaning when the Pasuk says Ben, it doesn't necessarily mean Ben.
Don't read it as Pasuk. Don't read it as 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Read it as relative A, relative B, relative C. And then we need to just string together an order.
Yeah,